me tell you, being your true self sometimes is tough. We're gonna talk about
It's
that. That's
very hard. It's very, I will love to talk about that because it
okay.
has been my life's work.
Wow. Welcome to On the Edge, Brains. You're at the spot with some truth tellers. Oh, you better watch out. This is the place here where the conversation is pointed and the guests are sharp. The responses are never dull. Today, we've got Kim Gross. We're going to talk about some interesting things, as we always do on your favorite podcast. But this one is the people pleaser and the perfectionist. And I'm going to go all in because I'm going to tell you, I am a master at teaching people how to treat me. You damn right. I don't go along to get along, okay? And I'll tell you how that all started. Also, she's a coach. Her ambition and goal is to be a speaker. She really wants to drill down and get into the heads of millennials, Gen Z, teenagers, and college students, how to show up as your real self. That authentic, I don't know, I think that word is overused, it's oversaturated. What is authentic? It's all subjective. It's all relative. It's all, perception. So we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, she's writing a book. So I'm going to ask her, what is that writing process about? Because she says that she's all in. Welcome her to the edge. How you doing, Kim?
I am doing well, April. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited for this conversation.
I'm excited too because, again, like I said, I'm going to give y'all some tips on how to get folks in line. Because folks will just treat you like any old kind of way. And if you allow that and you don't have self-worth and self-value and learn how to step back and establish boundaries, you're just gonna be jacked up. So tell us a little bit about you and how you show up in the world before I go all in.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I am a recovering people pleaser and perfectionist. My podcast is called Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists. And basically, this podcast, my work all stems and comes from a whole lifetime of trauma, a heap of pain, being in victimhood. And what I say all the time is that it's my journey, my path to go from victimhood to freedom, from prison to paradise. And that is what my book is about. I also
Well,
have two children, 24 and 21. I live in Florida for the winter, and I live in upstate New York in the summertime.
let me tell you, I can't believe, number one, that you have children that are that mature, that are
Thank you.
in that age range, because it doesn't look like you've had a lot of wear and tear.
Thank you. Thank you.
But like you said, and I'm glad that you're doing a podcast.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the podcast. I'm a podcaster. I'm one of the pioneers. I've been doing this for 21 years. Okay. What is it like in today's environment to create content to be engaging? Because you are considered a subject matter expert. People are tuning into you to get suggestions, advice, listen to your guest. Implement that, work with you, get paid with you. What is that like? How does that feel? And how do you formulate your podcast?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, it all depends if I have my people pleasing and perfection mask on or not.
Wow.
Right? So, like, really, if I am wearing the perfection mask and the people pleasing mask, then I'm attached to how many followers do I have? How many likes am I getting? Are the people enjoying what I'm putting out there? It's all about that external validation and what I'm going to get from the outside versus when I'm clear with myself and I'm centered and I come from a place of wanting to inspire and help others through my podcast, then it comes from a different place. It's from my heart and I want to share what wisdom I have. I want to share my experience, my strength, and my hope, and that of my guests that I have on. And I'll go ahead. You're going to ask a
No,
question.
go ahead. No, keep
I was
going.
going to say, originally, I started the podcast back in 2020 when we had the pandemic. And I started with a co-host, actually. We were just having these side conversations, deep, meaningful, spiritual kind of conversations, life conversations. And one day she said to me, we should really record these. Like a lot of podcasters get started that way. And I'm like, that's a great idea. And somehow through inspiration, through divine intervention, it came to me, let's call it Masks Off. And that's what we called it. So we just started recording every week. For a year and a half, we did it together. And then I wanted to go deeper with it. I wanted to turn it more into a platform, as you said, that we could really help and inspire by really being, I was almost going to say authentic. And then I'm like, nope.
Oh, you can use the word. I get it, but we'll go into that.
I get it too. But every week I was showing up being vulnerable. Every week I was showing up and sharing what was going on in my world, in my life, and then how I would work with that to help others. And I felt like if I wanted the listeners to be able to relate to us, we needed to show up that way and share what was really going on. And so she wasn't really of the same, coming from the same place as I was. So then I just went on my own at that point. And for the last year and a half, 18 months, I've been doing it solo. I've had 72 guests on and they've been amazing. Each and every guest that I had on my podcast was delivered right for me because it was something that I benefited from as well. I learned from each of those guests. Like I had guests on that talked about body image issues. I've struggled with body image, intuitive eating, the people pleasing, the high overachieving, everything I needed to hear about and learn about, a guest was brought to me with that particular topic.
All right. So let's ask another question. Let's talk about the business, the podcast. Okay. Okay. You've benefited, but have you benefited from it? And I'm talking about brains, what you need to understand, I'll be real clear here. This is a business, like the entertainment business, like the publishing business, like the technology business. We are marketing and promoting, creating a platform, paying for that platform, our time, our energy, our editing, our audience that we have built, the content, the responsibility and the potential liability that we have for putting our voice out there. I get people tell me all the time, I don't pay to play. Well, I don't play for free. And I say that with love. Money is energy. You don't invest in me, but you want me to go all in on you. There's another people pleaser. There's another perfectionist type of deal. I don't need to hear myself talk. I could do that in the mirror. You know, and I say that in 100% transparency. That's lesson number one that I'm going to teach you. It's about the business. Now, some people do it because it's cathartic. Okay. But at some point, you should go ahead and get a therapist, a coach, or a counselor. You don't need a podcaster. Okay. So respect your podcasters, respect your media people, because they're putting you out there. There's a cost to doing business. There's a cost to living life. Everything is a sales job. Your personality, your charm, your smell, your relationships. Every day, all day long, you're selling, selling, selling. So what is the repercussion of that? How are you going to reap the benefits of that? And I say that with no shame associated with it. Because it is. It's a lot of work. And if you value Kim, if you value April, if you value yourself, invest in yourself. You would get a coaching class. You would get you go and get self-help books, all that kind of stuff. Invest in the promotion of yourself. Now let's go to that word authentic. What's real? What I just gave you is real. It's transparent. Okay. Everybody's got an agenda. Everybody's got a bunch of boxes that you could tick off. Okay. And what are you willing to concede? Now there's things that I'm going to bow down to. Absolutely. You know, again, like I say, if there's a hell of a story, you know, of course there's pro bono, but I can't eat pro bono or excuses. I can't deposit excuses, so I don't accept them. And you shouldn't accept them either. You should demand excellence from your kids, from your business, from your podcast, from your work. It's a self-reflection. Would you agree with this, Kim?
I would agree with this. I'm going to be 100% transparent right now, if that's okay.
Yes. I'm going to be authentic, brains.
I'm taking my mask off and being transparent. So, as a recovering perfectionist, I'm saying that I am still a work in progress, and I'm not going to hide behind that. I'm still working through my patterns. And one of the things that I struggle with, and I've come a long, long way in this, but I'm still working through it, is being able to receive. As a recovering people pleaser as well, I am great, April, at giving, 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 giving. That's what the people pleaser will do, is focus on everyone else's wants, needs, desires. So I'm really good at that. I've struggled to receive because my wounding, my inner child, my childhood wounding was that I wasn't worthy enough of having my needs, my wants, my desires to be met. So how does that play out in what you just asked about the business? Is that I'm really great at providing so much valuable content, and I give it out freely, and I have a hard time receiving. And until I correct that, the energy of the universe is going to keep saying, you want clients? You've got to show me you want them.
Right.
You've got to be ready to receive and be open for that, because it is this giving and taking, giving and taking. And so I'm working with that, but I've had a hard time leaning into what you just stated, what you just mentioned. I have had a hard time leaning into it.
Well,
I believe
you know
in
what?
It, but it's been hard for me.
Well, I'll tell you what part of the challenge is your vernacular. Is the words that you use.
Say more about that.
Is the conversation that you have with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
The neuro-linguistic programming. I have a hard time. Well, you've just laid the groundwork.
Yes.
I'm having a great time. What else is possible? What else can I expect? Bring me the highest and greatest good. You need to talk to yourself
yes.
in a receiving type of language. Set the expectation. Set the intention. And it will come down like rain.
Yeah.
It will shower all over you. But if we keep putting and replaying that same story that has been indoctrinated in us over and over and over again and again, I say this with love, Kim.
Yes,
you're
I
still
know.
You're looking for outside validations for these people to make you feel worthy of what you know is your God-given right.
Exactly.
What other people have shamed you or disrespected you or shielded you or withheld from you, that's about them. And you need to go inside and say, hey, I am worthy of all of this. My mentor always tells me, this is how you strategic plan, April. Already see the outcome.
Yes.
Then look at the resources. How are you going to get it? And then the benefit is going to fall right in your lap. So that's what people need to think about, this perfectionism, because perfectionism is also a clear indication of insecurity.
Oh, for sure.
You've got to be perfect for everyone. This has to be perfect. I don't even like the word, you know, perfection, unless you're talking about Mr. Magnificent. That's perfect. but really, when you set that expectation, there has to be, no, there's got to be some flaws in there, because how am I going to learn? How am I going to get better? You know, there's going to be somebody that's going to come behind me that's going to exceed what I'm doing. That's like when I get a coach or I get a teacher or a mentor. Honest to Bob, I need to outgrow them. I don't want to do what they did. I want to do better than what they did. I'm coming to them for their expertise to excel. And that's the expectation that people should have. And when people
Absolutely.
Come to you, you ask the universe to bring you the highest and greatest good.
And
Because you deserve that.
At the root of the perfectionist is, as you said, the belief system that I'm not enough. I'm not worthy of. That's at the root of it. And for me, I totally understand what you're saying, because I have been doing so much inner work, healing work over the last 20 years that I am moving into that place of just being able to, like, if I'm in a place of gratitude and I start to feel my heart just expanding and I just feel the energy vibrating inside of me, then all of a sudden the sky seems bluer to me and the grass is greener, and I'm just feeling so grateful for life in and of itself. That's when I know that I'm connected to the divine source. I just remember, I just told you a few moments ago that I drive to Orlando a lot to pick my kids up. And maybe about 3 weeks ago, I was driving to the airport around sunset time. And I am telling you that the sun was right at eye level. It was huge. It was the most gorgeous, beautiful sunset. The sky was clear and it was blue. And I just remember in that moment, feeling so connected to the sun, to the sky, to nature, that I felt the reverence for that, but then I felt the reverence within myself.
And you deserve all that and then some, and it will radiate from you.
Yeah.
But set the expectation when your feet hit the ground, you know, honestly, I talked to myself the night before. Tomorrow is going to be XYZ.
Yeah.
You know, in your meditation, talk to yourself. It's a two-way conversation. People think I just have to sit there and just have to breathe and ohm and all that kind of stuff. No, you
I don't meditate that way.
Well, yeah, you need to talk to your higher source and say, look, what is this about?
Yeah.
And I say this too with love. You say you've been doing this for 20 years. You going to do it for the next 20 years?
No, hell no.
Claim
I
a
don't
healing.
Need...
Claim, yeah. Claim a healing. As of today, you are healed. I wish I could lay hands on you.
Yeah, I know.
But seriously, it comes to a point where you just, it's like an alcoholic. It's like a,
yes,
you know, a person with an eating disorder. Sometimes it's people that have debilitating disease and they say, you know what? I've had enough. I'm going to take charge of this. I'm not even going to talk about that. What should the version of a new perfectionist look like? Create a new paradigm. My mother used to tell me as a child, she said, baby, don't think outside the box. Create a new box. Maybe your box is not four walls, a top, and a floor. Maybe it's 8, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 2.
But create a new one.
Exactly. You are the creator. You have a blank canvas. You have a responsibility to paint a masterpiece. This is no do-over, okay?
Yes, Dr. Phil would say all the time, I used to love watching Dr. Phil, and he would say, this is not a dress rehearsal.
No, and I used to create audiences for Dr. Phil, and he is no joke. He would also say, so how's that working for you?
Yes, exactly. I know.
He'll still play you an heartbeat. You know, no
yes.
Nonsense. And so you have to get to that point, and that's what we want to project to the people under the sound of your voice. Because they're not looking just to, you know, I don't want a problem describer. I want a solution seeker.
Exactly.
I want somebody that's going to take me to that next level, whatever that level is.
And that's why I'm writing this book, because I'm at the point where I am able to write it now. I am able to write it. I've grown enough. I've come home to myself. I know who I am. I know that I am worthy. I know that I matter. That wasn't always the case. And you said, you know, about an alcoholic or any kind of addicted person finally gets to a point where, like, enough is enough. And at the end of the day, April, what we are talking about with these people-pleasing and perfectionistic patterns is codependency. So codependency is an addiction. So I'm in recovery from codependency. And so now, that's why I've been doing my work and always dredging and cleaning up, so that my river now, that my river runs and flows clean. And if it does get a little dammed up or murky or muddy, I know exactly what to do and how to get my river running clear again, because I have a process that I use and have used over the years to get myself to where I am today.
So tell us a little bit about the book and the writing process outside of looking at the sunset, at the horizon.
Well, I mean, I really do take off my mask in this book, and it is, well, first of all, I had a ghostwriter write it. And so now we're at the stage where we are going back and forth and doing the second draft of it. And what I talk about is how I went from my prison of the mind, not literal prison, but prison, to paradise. And paradise is the freaking freedom to be myself. To be free to show up in the world, take off the people pleasing, take off the perfecting, and to be able to say what I want to say to the world and not live in fear. And that is the journey that I share in the book. And I use lots of examples and stories in my marriage, my relationship with my kids, my mom, and how I even started wearing the perfecting people-pleasing mask at the age of 10. So I start out with that, and I don't want to share the whole entire thing so the listeners can go and buy it when it's out.
That's make the investment, Brains. We want you to buy it.
Okay. Yes.
But the thing is, I want to ask you a couple questions. All right. So you said that, are you married now?
I am, 30 years.
Okay. I've been married 40. Girl, that's a whole
congratulations
in itself. Thank you. It is. But there has to be some compromise. And that word fear, we've heard it a million times. False expectations appearing real. However, you must feel the fear, yet do it anyway.
Yes.
You don't know what you don't know. And so when you pull back the layers, you're going to see a new Kim Gross.
Oh, yes.
And now you have to settle in and adjust to who this person is, because everybody and everything around you has to succumb to who this new person is, that new self-confidence, that air, that new hairdo, that new lipstick, that new walk. Exactly. I had a girlfriend, lost 140 pounds. Girl, she was worse than what she was as a big girl. Because she did not identify with who she now had become. She didn't understand. Everybody's all gawking. Oh, you're so thin, and you're this, and you're that, and this. And then she started to go on this mind trip. Am I worthy of this? Who is this? I'm a version, a smaller version. What is the expectation? What is this? What is that? So we have to be clear. And all along the way, we have to make incremental adjustments. You can't go from A to Z. You got to fill in the white spaces in between and settle in and get comfortable. And you, as you said, go back.
I face that when I am facing that as I write this book. It, three things I've said to myself. What will the public say? What will they think? What will my sister say? What will my husband say? And then you know what I said to myself? What you just said. Do it anyway.
Anyway.
Do it anyway.
But also, when you do it anyway, be open to the possibility of rejection.
Yes. And that's how I know that I have healed, because what the people pleaser hates the most and has the most fear around is rejection and abandonment. That's why they please all the time. They're so afraid of rejection and abandonment. That's a deep, deep core wound. So I know that there's a strong possibility that someone is going to say something about the book or about my podcast or anything else about me. And I'm in a place where if I have a hard time with it, I have a process to work myself through, or I'm in a place where I'm okay with it. You are entitled to have your thoughts, your beliefs, your opinions, but that doesn't have to impact how I feel about me.
Right. And you know, some funny things that you just said. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one and they all stink. That's it.
I'm going to steal that one if I can. I love that.
Use it. What are people going to say? I let my haters be my motivators.
Yes.
Because if I'm not doing something fantastic, you have nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
People pay to have me ride on their tongue. Okay? So don't get into that. If people don't like you, it's because you're doing something that's captivating their attention. 9 times out of 10, when there's something that you don't like about somebody else, it's a reflection of yourself. Do I have that quality? Do I have that skill? You know, I probably wouldn't wear that lipstick, probably because you can't. You know, I wouldn't wear that wig, probably because you're not that bold. I wouldn't have that husband. Why? Because you're single and you don't have nobody. Consider the source. Look at what these people are saying. There's an insecurity or something wrong. But in that same vein, listen to it, because there is something that you are exuding that is capturing their attention. There's something that's about you that's causing them to take note as to what you're doing. Why are they watching you so closely? Why is this so captivating? Why do you have to lay on their tongue? Why do you have to talk about them? You know? So,
well, I think a big part of it is because I am so willing to be so vulnerable. I am willing to share the stories and experiences that I've gone through that are, some people might cringe to say, but want to say. They want to share that. And I'm willing to be that voice. I think that's a big part.
With that too, because you don't want to load somebody's gun. You don't want to give people ammunition to fight you with either.
Yeah.
So we have to be very careful and edit and filter how much we put out there. It's like social
media. Yes.
You know, people put one thing that just drives me nuts. Two things that drive me nuts. One is, if someone is at their lowest point, they're there at the hospital, they've got tubes and this, that, and the other, and you post their picture.
Yeah.
Okay. We just all watched the documentary of my girl, Wendy Williams. I met her a few times. I was devastated by that. Was it exploitation? No, I don't think so. I mean, it was hard to watch. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, when she gets better, I don't know if she would want all of that out there, but it was the truth, because mm-hmm. it pulled back the layers and revealed what a lot of people wouldn't be bold enough. That took courage. That's not a sign of weakness. That took courage to say, hey, here I am, butt naked to the world.
That's what I'm doing. That's what my book is. It's showing, I'm allowing myself to be butt naked to the world and having a lot of courage and strength to share that.
Exactly. Like,
for example, I share, which was so hard for me at the time when I was 11 years old, when I went through puberty. Like, I share the story that one day I was flat as a board, skinny as a rail, and it seemed like overnight my body changed. My boobs got big, my hips, my butt, everything just grew. I have the stretch marks still to show how quickly my body changed. And that was such a hard time for me because the boys made fun of me. They ostracized me. They called me hooters, thunder thighs. I mean, I really just felt awful about myself. And I share this story a lot, either on my podcast and in my book, because I feel like there are so many women who can relate to having gone through some type of body image situation in struggle.
The hormones, it's a whole metamorphosis.
Yeah.
But, you know, now, obviously you didn't go to an African-American school because of the brothers would have told you, oh girl, look at you. Come on over here. Let me squeeze that fatty. They would have made you feel beautiful about that. But
well, I did go to an inner city school, and I will tell you that was the case.
Yeah, you know.
They did. They saw me. They noticed me.
Exactly. But it's how we feel about ourselves.
Yes. You know?
And it's that validation. So parents, what I need you to do is I need you to turn up the volume on your listening skills. Look at your daughter and tell her, hey, you know what? My daughter's got some big hooters. And I said, baby, do you want to get a breast reduction? She goes, oh no, mommy, do you realize how much money people pay to get these? She says, it doesn't bother me. But then she looked at the other contributing factors, her hips and her waist, all of it was starting to morph together. So now she's on a weight management program and now it's starting to be more curvy and vivacious. But it was an evolving process because first it was all okay. Then all of a sudden it wasn't okay. So it's like ping pong. We go back and forth. We go back and forth. And in your life and in my life, you know, I have to adjust. I'm 61 years old. Who does that, by the way? But I'm having to adjust because, you know, I wake up and I got a little kink in my back and I don't have the energy that I have. And I look at myself and I'm saying, wow, you know, I'm going to the doctor a lot more. I'm looking at my co-pays. I never used to go to the doctor. And now I've got to go and you got to go and get regular tests and all that. It is a process. I'll tell you a quick little story. I remember my mother was passing. I love to tell the story. I don't know if you know who Dr. Cornel West is, African-American professor from Princeton. You'll always see him. He's always wearing black and white. He's got a salt and pepper afro, always wears a tie. And he said to me, he said, Sister April, he said, you know, when you are brought into the world, it's traumatic because you are delivered in a place between urination and defecation. You arrive in a puddle of slime and blood. And as soon as you come out, corporal punishment. Somebody thumps your foot or slaps your bottom, sucks mucus out of your nose. He said, but then 15, 20 minutes later, they've served a party for you. There's bright lights. Everybody's happy to see you. They're hugging. They're kissing you. They're loving you. They're nurturing you. They're teaching you things. They're telling you who and what it is that you're supposed to be in this world. But on the flip side of that, you got to go through that process again. You could be forced out, cut out, pushed out, or just knocked out. You got to go through this portal. You got to go through this evolution of change. But when you get on the other side, there's another party. People are waiting for you that haven't seen you in a long time. There's another bright light. Streets are lined with gold. The rivers are milk and honey. So as we go through this thing called life, know that there's going to be ebbs and flows. And you just got to get with the program and be thankful and be grateful for each phase of this, because we all have a soul contract. We all have a soul journey. Some people are just here. I had a guest that she was so heavy. She was telling me, you know, your soul contract, you might be here for a traumatic experience. You might be here to save the world. You might be here to help the perfectionists. You know,
yeah.
You might be here to be a murderer, whatever your soul contract is for that time. So understand what that is. And it's not personal.
I love that you said that, because I felt my soul calling me to write this book.
See?
My soul has been calling me. My patterns, my ego is saying, oh my gosh, don't do that. That's crazy, for the reasons we mentioned before. But I know that no matter what, in spite of it, I need to write it. I need to take off my mask fully and completely and share my true self with the world. And going back to what you were saying about parents, listen up. I want to just say one other thing about that story of when I went through puberty. One of the reasons why it had such a profound impact on me was because, and I don't blame my mother for this now. She did the best she could with what she knew. And if my mom was able and capable of coming to me and talking to me and saying that this is normal, this is natural, or allowed me to express and share with her what I was going through, I may not have fully interpreted a meaning that I was unworthy because of going through puberty. I had no adult in my life to help me make sense of what was happening and what I was feeling. So that's just a little.
Okay. But in defense of your mother.
Yeah.
Let's look at epigenetics.
Oh, 100%. I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
No, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. And that's why I say I don't blame.
On the flip side, for me, my mother was 14, 15 when she had her first baby. She got knocked up right out of the gate. She didn't even know she was pregnant.
Yeah.
But what she did was she stopped that cycle. She taught me how I was worthy, how I was beautiful, what was going to happen. When I broke my virginity, I came home and told my mother. I had told her before, we kind of set things up with the birth control and all that kind of stuff. And I came home and I said, Mom, I got something to tell you. And it was the most beautiful experience because I had my best friend to share with me. And she didn't like it. She didn't jump for joy. She was like, oh, Lord, don't make it a habit. You know, but I was prepared. You prepare your children to learn how to cross the street. You prepare your children how to take a test. You prepare your children's plate before they eat. Prepare them for life. You're not going to like everything, but it again, it's not about you, parents.
No.
You cannot relive your life vicariously through your children. This is a whole different world. We could talk about that forever. There's some things I don't understand. I was talking to some young people a couple weeks ago and they go, Miss April, you're just way too heavy. And I said, well, I thought they were talking about my weight. They go, no, you're too deep. You're giving us too much information. We want it in bite-sized pieces. Just give us the facts. Just give us, you know. And I'm like, well, hell, you don't want to hear the whole story? They said, no, we don't want to hear the story. We just need to see what's impact. So that's what they're taking. They're taking it in bits and bites and nano pieces, and they're piecing it together. It's a whole different world now.
It is.
And so what we have to do is we can't just go along to get along. We still have to incorporate and inject some basic tools, some basic knowledge. And listen, again, you're not going to like everything you hear. Absolutely. But it will be, you'll be able to ward off evil or give your children some options or some choices or let them know that, hey, you know, you robbed that bank, baby, you're going to go to jail. There's going to be some consequences. So there's consequences. So let's ask some fun questions because we have been going so deep. I love
deep,
this.
Deep,
this
deep, deep.
This is my favorite part of the interview. If you were a flower in the garden, Kim, what flower would you be?
I would be... I love carnations. I would be a carnation.
Oh. I haven't had too many carnations, and they are pretty.
They can be so many different colors. The way they cross color them now or whatever they do, you can have so many different colors of a carnation.
And they last for a long time.
They do.
They last for a long time. So that lets you know that you got staying power. If you were a car, what kind of car would you be?
Oh, shoot. I'm going to just... go. I'm not a huge car person, but I'm going to go with a Firebird. I don't even know if they make them anymore, but I had a 1991 red Firebird that I loved.
Ooh.
I would be that car. That would be that car.
And they're pretty fast and they're strong.
And I had T-roofs, so I take those T-roofs off and the hair blowing while I was driving.
Oh my God. My God. My God. Talk about selling the value. I know I wasn't planning on buying this particular car and I go into the car dealership and I'm, you know, just going for a test drive and I get in the car and the guy goes, oh, let me open the sunroof. Can't you just feel those curls blowing in the wind? He's nuzzling to that seat. What's your favorite radio station?
Oh my goodness. Music?
And then I started kind of panting. I said, excuse me. I said, but I'm having a hot flash. He says, I've got something for that too. He hit that seat cooler. I said, let's go write it up.
He did a really good job of selling.
But this is what I'm telling you. It goes back to the podcast. Selling to value. What do you value? All of those things were important to me. I hadn't even asked him. I didn't even look at the price. What made me feel good? What was going to make me look good? How was I going to drive? How was I going to project? Those things are important. All right. Now, if you were an appliance in the kitchen, what appliance would you be?
Ooh, that's a good question. If I was an appliance, okay, I'm going to go with my Vitamix. Because I'm making smoothies all the time. So I would be a Vitamix.
But that also indicates that you're very versatile because you can do it hot, you can do it cold, you can mix it up, you can make ice cream, you can make soup, you can blend. That's
All
wonderful.
of it.
Well, I'm going to be the air fryer.
I do love the air fryer too.
I like the air fryer because it's a little bit of grease, it's crispy, it cooks fast, and it cleans easy.
I do agree with you on that. I do love my air fryer. I use it almost every day, as much as my Vitamix.
All right. Now, how about this one? What's your favorite smell?
Oh
Hold on
God.
1 second. Give me a second. I'll come back with that. Sorry, I got a landline.
Yes, no worries.
I will bring you back. What was the question I asked you? What?
What's my favorite smell?
Okay. One, two, three. Okay, here's a good one. What is your favorite smell?
My favorite smell is birthday cake,
Wow.
right? Like, or vanilla cake mix. Oh, I love that smell, whether it's an ice cream flavor, it's in a cupcake or in the batter, a candle, a lotion. I love birthday cake, vanilla birthday cake.
Well, and that tells me that you are pure and a bit simplistic. You don't need a whole lot of extra to awaken your palate. So I ask these questions because it gives people a way to express themselves, but also a deeper insight into their character and what they feel about themselves. And there are some beautiful things that resonate from you. You're
Thank you.
fast, you're quick, you like red. You like, carnations. You want to mix it up. So anytime that you are feeling in a place of lull, reflect back on those things. Go back and rewind this interview and say, wow, these are characteristics that I can draw on. And this is really who I am. And this is what I think about myself, not other people, not what they're saying about the book, not what my sister's saying, my mama, did or didn't do, my husband's co-signing on. This is what Kimberly Gross thinks about Kimberly Gross. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you and get ready to pick up a copy of that book.
I love it. The best place is my website, kimgrosscoaching.com. On my website, you can find me on all my socials. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, all the places. Plus, my podcast is there. I also have a quiz. If you want to know if you have people pleasing or perfectionistic tendencies, I have a quiz for that. And then I have all the characteristics of the people pleaser, perfectionist, and how to go from the prison to paradise. So my website is the best place. And when my book is published, I will have it linked there. The link to Amazon. So it's easy will be easy to pick up and purchase.
And we're going to be following you because we're going to promote it. Absolutely.
Thank
Brains,
you.
again, we went hard and heavy, but you got to be clear. You cannot be a marshmallow in this world because somebody will put you on the end of a stick and roast you.
That is for
They'll turn
sure.
you into a s'more. How about that?
For sure.
So go in, brains, like, love, share, and subscribe. You see this address? It's all up in your face. You see it right here? Let me get my big head out the way. Right there. Go in and love, like, share, and subscribe. Follow Kimberly. Listen to her podcast. These are some things that we all experience. Okay. Every day we are trying to please, sell, or,
Perfect.
sell ourselves, perfect. So let's get it together. And when you're doing business, understand that it's business. Love you. Thank you so much, Kimberly. You're the best.
Thanks, April.